Good day, great gamers, to another episode of the Daily Days Too Many Games podcast, the show that joins past and present in its quest to both celebrate and contemplate the gaming spectrum. I am your host, Mr. Picario, who's glad for any excuse to talk tech and games. And today, we have two items on the agenda. One is that hard-to-define, difficult-to-capture quality our favorite systems seem to possess. This being, of course, the phenomenon we call timelessness. And following that short topic is a second question. Is it better to buy games physically or digitally? So first, let's talk timelessness. A few shows ago, I said this was the ingredient that made some games stand the test of time, from Tetris to Zelda, while other once popular games barely seem playable by today's standards, like, say, the original Resident Evil. Well, the same could be said about the game consoles themselves, right? What makes the Nintendo Entertainment System so much more beloved than the Sega Master System, the Atari 2600, than the original Xbox? Why do people worship their Sega Dreamcast but snub the Philips CD-i or Panasonic 3DO? Well, there are a lot of reasons really, but more have to do with sweet childhood nostalgia, the ubiquity of the system itself, and the presumed killer library of games than anything about the console itself. Indeed, both the NES and Atari 7800 were just plastic boxes that played 8-bit games. Yet, the NES still stokes the imaginations of gamers everywhere today, while the 7800 enjoys a niche following at best. But why? Well, because the NES was everywhere, meaning it received hundreds of games, many of them eventual classics, that quickly got played and shared across countless 1980s playgrounds. These childhood experiences soon became treasured memories, and eventually sweet nostalgia, which mixed with the undeniable quality of the NES itself, soon transformed the system into an indispensable holy amulet of the past. This is a phenomenon the 7800 could never achieve itself due to its low recognition and availability at the time. And anyway, those games, kids and adults alike, can still spend hours talking about questing in Mario or Zelda or Blaster Master or whatever, but not so much about Food Fight or Pole Position 2 on the Atari 7800. Of course, hardware innovation does help. The NES gamepad was a revelation in its time, easily trumping the Atari joystick, while system-enhancing chips added to the NES carts allowed for sophisticated games like Castlevania 3 that would not have been feasible on Atari's own system. Likewise, the analog stick did wonders for the N64's reputation, as did the motion control on the Wii. While both the Dreamcast's and Xbox's early foray into online gaming captured the attention of the discerning gamer, nevertheless, it was still Mario 64, Mario Kart 64, NFL 2K, Soul Calibur, and Halo Combat Evolved that provided so many unforgettable moments and created such passionate conversation, whether on the schoolyard, at college, or in the workforce. Remember your first killing spree in Halo, or finally finding Yoshi atop the castle in Mario 64? These special one-of-a-kind memories become indelibly linked to the consoles that conceived them, creating a bond between man and machine never quite seen before. People love the boxes that gave them those experiences, and returning to them in the modern day is like stepping back in time. Had the CDI or 3DO boasted a similar library of revolutionary games, perhaps they too would have achieved some level of immortality. But alas, such is the nebulous nature of timelessness. But while some systems may live in the hearts and minds of gamers forever, the concept of ownership may definitely not. Yep, one of modern gaming's great controversies is the physical versus digital debate, the latter of which is growing increasingly popular. What started almost as an experiment back with the original Xbox, in which gamers could pay to download small, simple games, soon became a burgeoning phenomenon in later generations, with both Xbox Live, Wii, and PSN marketplaces becoming overcrowded with countless titles. It's even worse now, with the Xbox and PlayStation stores overrun with games of both indie and retail varieties, not to mention gobs of expansions and DLC. In the meantime, physical releases have become noticeably slimmed down, with the once taken for granted manual now MIA for most contemporary releases. And judging from the current trends, this will only continue. People apparently love downloading games, small or large, to the point where physical releases may indeed one day just disappear. Is this good? Bad? Does it matter? As a collector, I say it does. Digital games often cost the same as their physical counterparts, yet the buyer doesn't actually own anything. He simply gets the license to run the game on his machine, and someday, should that digital marketplace be closed, he may lose access to the game altogether. This very reality is already coming to the Wii Shop channel in 2019, at which point the service will no longer be available even to re-download purchased games. This, of course, is not really a problem if you have a physical copy, which looks mighty fine resting on a shelf anyway. That said, going digital isn't all bad. It saves space, makes it easy for small studios to actually get their games out in an affordable, accessible manner, and significantly, they can't be stolen either. I discovered this the hard way when, a few years back, about half of my game collection got stolen. If I had simply gone digital, that theft would have not been nearly so heinous. However, a digital game cannot be resold either, while a physical one obviously can. So, pick your poison, I guess, although I still recommend going physical if you have the passion and the space, and really the bucks. There's something to be said about actually owning and holding a piece of history. And that is that. As always, thanks for stopping by, and tune in again next week for another Retro Ramble. This is Mr. Picario, signing off for now.